Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Those convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence or served with a final protection from abuse order will have to give up all their guns within 24 hours under legislation approved by the state Senate this week. The bill is on its way to Governor Tom Wolf, who has promised to sign it into law. Currently, domestic abusers have up to 60 days to hand over their firearms, or if ordered by a judge, and could give them to a friend or family member for safekeeping. That will change if this law is enacted. Joining us on today's program to talk about this new law is Republican State Representative Marguerite Quinn of Bucks County. Representative Quinn, welcome to the program.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Also, Julie Bancroft is the Chief Public Affairs Officer with the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Ms. Bancroft, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for having me.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. And before we get into our discussion, I should mention that NPR will be providing live coverage of the Kavanaugh vote, or at least what's happening in the state, in the United States Senate, having to do with the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. We will be picking up that coverage at 9:30 live from Washington. Julie Bancroft, let me start with you. This legislation was a long time in coming, but I'm just curious about your thoughts and the feelings of the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence on this legislation.
Well, we're celebrating a historic win this week with the passage of this legislation. Domestic violence homicide prevention, which is how we've seen this bill, has been a top priority for the coalition for the last decade. And so this is the second consecutive session that we've worked on this legislation. And it's really wonderful to see this through to final passage. We expect the governor to pass, to sign the bill into law. But what it does is it, like I said, it addresses domestic violence homicides that involve firearms. And firearms have been the leading method of killing in domestic violence homicides for the last decade. So it's a really pervasive issue. And this bill addresses that and some of the ways that you just summarized.
You have statistics and numbers on domestic violence deaths that involve a firearm. And I'm not necessarily looking for specific numbers, but can you tell me whether there have been some domestic violence deaths that would have been prevented if the domestic abuser would not have had access to a gun that maybe they gave to a friend or a family member, or they didn't have to turn it in within 60 days?
Sure, absolutely. So we don't actually have data that tracks violations of third-party safekeeping or instances where an individual had a PFA against them and then and was ordered to relinquish weapons, but then had access to those weapons and used them against their victim. We have those, and it's more anecdotal stories that we have, but not hard data on that. But anecdotally, we know that those issues, they're real. It's dangerous. And we have seen victims being killed. In fact, there was in the last couple of weeks, the courthouse shooting in Western Pennsylvania. That individual had been ordered a final PFA, but without weapons relinquishment, and then went to the courthouse and shot and injured three individuals. Luckily, no one was killed in that scenario. But this bill will help to prevent instances like that.
And we'll talk about the current law, because there are some major changes between the current law and what we have. Representative Quinn, you are the prime sponsor of this bill. Why did you decide that this was something that was important enough that you wanted to sponsor it and see its way through the legislature?
Thank you for having me on. When you hear the the statistics, when you recognize the fact that present law allows someone with a conviction, after due process, with a conviction of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, to hold on to their firearms for 60 days, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And we've seen there have been deaths for this. And for the protection from abuse, to be able to give your firearms to a family or friend for safe holding. It just does not make sense. And when you start to explain that to people, they get it. And it was, this was really something that just needed to be done, and we needed to go at it and really get a good education going around what is present law.
When you say that it only makes sense, it took a long time, though, to get through the legislature. Now, granted, in the Senate this week, it passed 43-5, which nowadays is saying something, that you can get both Republicans and Democrats to agree on anything that much. But why did it take so long?
In my view, it took so long because we had to weed through some miscommunication, misinformation campaigns that, you know, quite frankly, seemed intentional. There's concern that this would just be the camel's head under the tent in terms of reform.
What do you mean that the camel's head under the tent with reform? What do you mean?
I've been told that the concern has been an erosion of the Second Amendment and rights to bear arms, rights to have arms. And really, it does not do that. This is simply saying that with those rights come the responsibilities, and if you are one to harm or pose an imminent threat, serious bodily threat to someone else, and that's all defined in the law, who it is you could be hurting in the PFA law, then you don't deserve to have that weapon anymore for a period of time.
Yeah.
And that's what this bill does.
Second
it
Amendment
takes it away from where, you know, you get it back from mom or your neighbor.
I would seem to think that probably the answer to those concerns about Second Amendment rights is that Second Amendment only goes so far to when you are a threat to other people's safety. Is that the
Correct.
Case?
And there was a lot of misinformation and some perceptions of the PFA itself, the PFA being a weapon in a divorce proceeding, a weapon in an ugly breakup, and we had to just get beyond that to educate people as to, you know, what a final PFA order means and how that is what's affected by this bill, not a temporary claim.
What you're describing, Representative Quinn and Julie, I'll turn back to you. It's very timely now because with the Kavanaugh hearings, there's been a lot of discussion about the false accusations of sexual assault. This is the same thing. It's what Representative Quinn was describing there, that some people had some, you know, concerns that in a messy divorce, a messy breakup, that they would claim that domestic abuse occurred when it actually happened. Do you have any kind of statistics as to, or maybe you can just tell stories, of how often that actually happens?
And the specific statistic is escaping me right now, but it's the same as any other false report on any other type of crime. It's very rare. And the law actually already has provisions in place for bad faith reporting. There are criminal charges if you file petition for a PFA in bad faith. So those protections are already in place. And the other thing is, it's really not easy to get a PFA. It's very difficult for victims to come forward. It's during periods of incredible fear, and it's often the most dangerous time when a victim does seek protection from the courts. And it's a difficult process. It's a really long form you have to fill out. You have to detail the instances of abuse. And the legal standard for protections from abuse is preponderance of the evidence. So due process is absolutely in place, and it always has been. So this law really shouldn't impact law-abiding, responsible gun owners at all. It's really adjudicated abusers and those who are subject to a final PFA. And as Representative Quinn said, it's for the period of time for the PFA, which is up to 3 years.
Up to 3 years. When I found, even yesterday, I was in my office and someone came in bright and early and he was mad as hell and wanted to speak to me and couldn't believe not only did I vote for it, but when I said I'm the prime sponsor. But he left happy. He left saying, oh, well, that's not what I heard about the bill. Now that I understood it, and he says, of course, a responsible firearm owner would not involve, it would not affect them. They understood then that due process was in place. that we're not, it's not a lifetime ban on weapons and all of that. So it's been a lot of miscommunication that's been hurtful in this campaign to get the bill fixed.
Do you think some of that miscommunication, and let's call it what it is, that some false information, some inaccurate information, that maybe some of that was spread on purpose?
The thoughts crossed my mind, because even as we pointed things out, I'd still hear the same complaints, the same concerns, then emails mixing it up with different bills. So, you know, I would not be surprised if there was a rally cry just to try and stop this by putting things out like, you know, this stops your due process. This is against the Constitution. That kind of information. You'll never get your guns back. I've heard it all.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guests today, Republican State Representative Marguerite Quinn of Bucks County and Julie Bancroft, Chief Public Affairs Officer with the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence. We're talking about legislation that was passed this week by the state Senate and on its way to Governor Wolf, who says that he will sign it, that will make a big change in firearms when those who own firearms but have been convicted of domestic violence misdemeanor will have to give up their firearms. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. And again, just a reminder that 9:30, we will be breaking away to go to NPR for coverage of the Kavanaugh hearings and the Kavanaugh nomination. That's coming up at 9:30. Julie Bancroft, want to clear up something. I said it in my introduction, and I actually have seen it reported everywhere, that this law, that it, what it does is those convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence will have to give up their firearms within 24 hours.
That's correct.
Previously, they had 60 days, if ordered by a judge. But you corrected me with my introduction, and I actually have seen this reported everywhere.
Yes.
That with someone with a final serve, with a final protection from abuse order. Clarify that if you would.
Sure. Thank you, Scott. So and under current law, and this has been the law for at least the last 10 years, anyone subject to a final PFA who has been ordered to relinquish their weapons under current law already has to relinquish within 24 hours. So the change with this bill is on the misdemeanor conviction side. So for misdemeanor crimes of domestic violence, that change is from 60 days to 24 hours. So actually bringing it in line with a final PFA order.
Mm-hmm. And again, that has been widely reported. So there's, I'm glad that we got that clarification. Maybe some definitions are in order. What is a final PFA compared to someone who, you know, there's been an incident of domestic abuse and goes for a PFA? What is a final PFA?
So a victim can seek protection through a temporary PFA, and that's basically they file for protection, and then a hearing has to happen within 10 days. That hearing, at that hearing, both the defendant and the plaintiff have an opportunity to be heard by a judge to present evidence, and at that time, the judge can choose to order a final protection order for a period of up to 3 years. That protection order can have provisions such as weapons relinquishment. So that's another thing that this bill does. Before, it was discretionary. The judge had discretion to order weapons relinquishment. What this law does, or I'm sorry, this bill makes weapons relinquishment mandatory on all final orders adjudicated by a judge.
Mm. And if I might chime in there.
Sure.
Making it mandatory, it changes also the definition of third-party keepers, that you can no longer give that mandatory relinquishment to a friend or family. So we've expanded that to, it's traditionally been the sheriff's office, friend or family. Friend or family's out of there. Now it's sheriff's office, municipal police, state police, firearms dealer, your attorney, who's an officer of the court, as long as you're in an attorney-client relationship or a commercial armory.
We have a phone call from Cynthia. Cynthia, you're on the air.
Hi. Scott, you were asking if this law would help prevent death. And I wanted to tell you about my neighbor's daughter. Her estranged husband was under a protection order and ordered to relinquish his firearms. He left a package with some firearms with people he knew. And then he used a gun he had kept to shoot and kill his wife and himself.
So this is a perfect example of maybe there's a life that would have been saved if this law had been in place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cynthia, I'm glad you called in. Thank you very much.
Sorry for the loss, Cynthia.
Yeah. I mean, that's just when you hear, you know, I often say this, that we can talk about statistics all we want, but there are real people behind these numbers. And Cynthia calling in and telling the story of her neighbor, neighbor's daughter, and how she was killed by someone who just left a gun with a friend or a family member, I think really, really brings it home. All right, let's go to Peter in Harrisburg. Peter, you're on the air.
Early on, you made reference to why did it take so long, and you got an answer from your guest then. And you do a good job on questions. But I think that one of the principal reasons is money and influence. Money leads to improper influence. We see it playing out on a national stage and a local stage. If we take the abuse and the love of money out of politics, we have a chance to actually have a system that works. And that's the problem here. That is it. And in the national stage, revenge served cold may be the benefit of money paid on the Supreme Court thing on both sides. So, Scott, I think money's the basic problem here and many other places.
Thank you very much for your call. Representative Quinn, were there lobbyists out there? Were there maybe some parties that were spending money against this bill?
I'm not aware of any of that. However, there was a very active email campaign, and there were letters, so I guess with that effort comes some financing, but I'm not aware of dollars being given to campaign funds. You know, you got to remember, Pennsylvania has some very rural areas. You know, there's, even in my legislative district, I have 11 municipalities. Five of those municipalities do not have their own municipal police force. They rely on state police. They're rural. It's not uncommon for a house to have firearms in them, you know, and that's still a Philadelphia suburban area. When you get into the T of Pennsylvania and other areas, I could only see that amplified. So I don't believe this was a money situation. You know, I've had an NRA rating as high as A- in the past. I've never had a contribution from the NRA. You know, this simply, to me, was about getting our heads around the fact that we can actually pass law that involves a firearm that is not eroding a Second Amendment right. This was a domestic violence bill that had a firearm or has a firearm component. And once people understand that it's not going after, you know, we're not trying to take away guns from responsible gun owners, and that we can respect the Second Amendment and, you know, love the sin, hate the sinner, that type of thing. We've heard for years that it's not the guns, it's those people who have the guns and use the guns poorly that's the problem. There's evidence. Julie spoke to it. There's plenty of evidence around and too many deaths around to say that firearms and domestic violence are not a good mix. They're a fatal mix. They have been fatal. They have been tragic. Hopefully, this will help put a stop to some of it. Sadly, this bill will not cure all of it, but it's taking guns away from the hands of someone who really should not be having them at that time in their life.
We only have about 2 minutes left. We'll be joining NPR in just a few minutes. I think the point that Peter was making, though, maybe not in this case, money being spent, but we do know that realistically there is a lot of money being spent to influence how legislation does turn out. Julie,
sure.
In the last minute or so that we do have, as you said very early on, you're very happy about the passage of this bill. It hasn't been signed into law yet by Governor Wolf. What will be the result of it?
We fully expect that this will absolutely save lives. So just to recap what this bill does. Again, it removes friends and family as third-party safekeepers, which has proven to be deadly. So that's a really important gain. Makes mandatory relinquishment for all final PFAs adjudicated by a judge. Also, the change from 60 days to 24 hours for misdemeanor convictions, making that in alignment with PFAs. I also wanted to add, this bill rolls in provisions from two Senate bills. So this also adds protections during service of a PFA, so protections for victims, and also allows victims to extend a protection order against the defendant who is being released or has been released from custody, has been incarcerated.
Julie Bancroft is Chief Public Affairs Officer with the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Republican State Representative Marguerite Quinn of Bucks County, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, and congratulations on the 10-year anniversary of your show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
And that's what we'll be talking about on Monday's program all next week. It is the 10th anniversary of Smart Talk, and all next week we will be talking about a lot of the stories, a lot of the news that we've covered over the last 10 years, the conversations we've had over the last 10 years. We'll start with the very first one. This program was developed in response to the Great Recession, and that's what we'll be talking about coming up of the economy over the last 10 years. That comes up on Monday's program. Have a good weekend, everyone. Talk to you Monday.